Hey everybody, welcome to episode 94 of Photography Insights. And today, we are going to feature another great artist. As I said in my previous episode, I'm trying to reach out to a wider scope of people, and this is another example. A photographer from Russia. Gulnara comes from the city of Ufa, and was the only female photographer in her region. She moved into the world of press photography under the belt of Associated Press in the USA. And because of that, she has won competitions and awards, including the World Press Photo. Her work is known around the world now, and one example is that of 9/11, where she was at Ground Zero. Now, in this podcast, we do not discuss this, and I would ask you to check out her interview with Bob at Street Photography Magazine, as it covers all this and lots more. Plus, of course, it's a great magazine. But anyway, I came across Gulnara because of her awards and her lovely work with Street Photography. And she has some lovely, unique projects she's done. She's the founder of WomenStreetPhotographers.com, where she showcases work of others. And one of Gulnara's projects that caught my eye was something to do with hand painting, so please do listen out. Some of the areas we discuss are book collecting, shooting for 40 years, the importance of mentors, the right critique and feedback, being a darkroom master of colour and black and white, making chemicals herself, appreciating your homeland, being happy and proud of your work, workshops in Russia, lockdown and her first book, teaching street photography, Instagram feeds and personality, an artist residence, and a paid trip to New York. For those who want to check out her in more detail, there are links to her website, her Instagram, and the Women's Street Photography Instagram. And also there are links in the show notes to some of the people mentioned in this show, which I'll not reveal at this moment. And there's also a link to Gulnara's Pay It Forward person as well. She's kindly offered to let me use some of her pictures as well, so please do check out the website where you'll see all this extra content. And again, you know, if you're into street photography, whether you're into, please do check out Gulnara's project and obviously Women Street Photographers that she's put together. I think it's a great resource. I think it's a great idea. There's some amazing photographs, and you know, this idea of this competition and artist residency is just a fabulous thing. And you know, it's something she just does off her own back because it's something she loves doing. So it just tells you a little bit about her character. So yeah, that's Gulnara. I'd just like to thank the friends of the show as always. Pete at Static Age for his lovely designs. And obviously David at Film Dev. So for anyone who's needing some film processing, please do check him out. Very reasonable rates. So I suppose let's sit back, listen to the music, and await our guest, Gulnara. And welcome to the show, Gulnara.
Hi, it was great being here and talk to you.
That's very kind of you. Thank you for spending tonight with me, or good afternoon for you, should I say. I'm quite privileged because I can actually see behind Gulnara, and she's got lots of books.
That I do. That's just a part of it.
So I can imagine, with you being an artist, then is books a big thing for you?
Yes, I love books. I start collecting books over 20 years ago. And maybe even earlier. I mean, when I'm from Russia, and in Russia, I had, you know, I would buy photography books, and
okay,
I even brought with me a couple of books. When I moved here, my ex-husband was collecting books, so I got, you know, got introduced to a lot of amazing artists through all these books. And my first book he gave me was first edition, first print by Helen Levitt. I have this book signed. My most Ooh. Most treasured book. I I love her work, and she was my first favorite street photographer before I knew that I was, you know, that I loved street photography. So that was a long time ago, early 90s.
Yeah, so you've obviously shot so long. With your like passion for books, then, is that all photography, or are you like an artist that involve maybe painters or surrealism or other sort of areas?
I only have photography books. I have, you know, photography history. I mean, anything photography related. I have photojournalism books. I have a couple of books that are art. I actually just received a Goya catalog.
Okay.
And I only have this catalog because it still is. There's a big exhibition of Goya work, and so this catalog. I mean, it's actually a book. It's a very thick, heavy book. And they used one of my 9/11 photos. The only photograph in that book is my photo from 9/11. And they're comparing my work to Goya, which I was really,
wow.
You know, I was really, you know, flattered
and
honored.
That's cool, yeah.
That they chose my photo to use in the book.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because obviously you've won so many awards, and your work's been featured in so many places, hasn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
My photojournalism work, particularly my 9/11 work, it was published and featured in every media out there, in books and magazines and newspapers, television and documentaries and movies. There, you know, a lot of people got inspired by one of my photos, that one World Press photo. I have, sculptures made out after this photo. And, they're like, you know, paintings inspired by that photo. So, yeah, it has a life on its own. Sometimes I don't even know what's going on.
Gee, that's fantastic. It must be nice to get that feedback, though.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Because it's like recognition of your work, and I think as a photographer, sometimes you don't see that, do you?
No, I mean, you know, I've been a photographer for 40 years, and, I just keep going, you know, and, you know, I do my thing. photography, being a photographer, is kind of a very isolating and job. you know, we would go shoot. And I mean, especially now, you know, with like, you know, I'm into street photography. You know, you go shoot and you're alone. And it's hard to know, like, you know, if you're going in the right direction, if you're doing the right thing. So, and that's why, you know, having a mentor is actually quite useful to give you that feedback.
Okay. So is that something you've had from early on, or?
I had mentors, yeah. I had mentors here and there.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, when you're starting out, I mean, it's very important to have someone to give you feedback, not rely on comments on social media, you know.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Yeah. I know that one well. Sometimes I make the mistake of, oh, what do you think of this? Or how could I improve it? And then it's like, oh, there's just reams of comments. And you just think, can I actually take a photo? Do I give up now? Or do I ignore these people? I mean, it's...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, getting the feedback from people you don't know, you never met, and they're like faceless, voiceless people behind the comment. Yep. It's not the... right way to analyze your own work that you put heart and soul, hopefully, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand it. I think sometimes we get a bit mixed up in social media that would you be that blunt, that forward in life in person? Because I don't think most people would naturally just go up to total strangers and say, no, that's rubbish.
Yeah. Even, you know... like finding someone, finding a right mentor is also, you know, important, because even if it like removing the social media, for example, I mean, even like entering the, you know, you go a festival or you enter a contest, and some people get discouraged if their photos are not part of the winning team, or it's not part of the exhibition, or it's not part of, you know, whatever. Or, you know, in my 40 years of, you know, going back, I mean, I had people telling me to, you know, quit photography straight in the face, you know, that my place was not in photography. So I, you know, I was lucky to get certain shots. I mean, that's a, it's, you have to be like really careful who you, you know, listen to. So it have to be absolutely, you know, it have to be a person who you absolutely trust, whose opinion you absolutely trust to tell you, you know, feedback on your work. But I got to tell you, I mean, a couple of times when I almost quit photography because of a negative feedback.
Yeah. Was it anyone you knew, or was it just stranger?
First time a feedback from quite well-known Russian photographer, but, you know, I'm talking about back in the days, like 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't that good. I don't know. But, you know, but it's very dangerous to tell to someone that, you know, your place is in the kitchen. So, you know, it's... you know, criticism needs to be constructive, you know, why it's not good, you know, and how you can improve.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't think enough people do that. I think it's too much just negativity straight away. And like you say, for me, like you say, you have to respect the person, because why would you listen to someone you don't know? And even if they've got good photos, it doesn't necessarily mean they're the best photographer, or, you know, the best mentor or educator or whatever. It's definitely something I've struggled with, because I've got plenty of friends, and I think many of them are very good at it. There's one or two that are exceptional in certain areas, but I think the mentor thing is really hard to find, I think.
Yeah. And also what I've learned is that a lot of people get confused with that, you know, some people could be incredible photographers winning all these awards, but they completely lack of like being a, like a teacher or a mentor. And vice versa, you know, you could be a, you know, mediocre photographer, but you have an eye for good photography and you know how to teach. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose that's even harder because if your images are not winning awards and you're not amazing, then are you going to listen to this person who's all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'd probably put myself in that sort of a thing. I think I'm okay at teaching people, and I've taught a few people some basics, but then I learn loads. So I've probably got a mentor in it for datroom printing. I have an older gentleman who gave me a lot of equipment, and I'll message him and say, how do I do this? And can you still do this? Things like that. And that's been fantastic for me.
Yeah.
I just think they're so important. And I'm always so grateful for people like that, because he also did the first session with me for the dark room. So imagine, I'd never, ever been in a dark room before. I'd never seen one, didn't know what they were. Gave me all this equipment, came down to my house and said, right, you do that. And he stayed with me for a couple of hours and I've never looked back.
Wow, so you should film?
Yes, yeah, I'm a massive film shooter, yeah. So imagine you've been shooting both in the past?
Well, yeah, I came from film background, yes. And I used to be a professional darkroom printer. You know, both color and black and white. And, wow. You know, I started like, you know, I started photography when I was 15. And I went to photography school where I learned, you know, how to make developer and fixer and all the chemicals, like from the ingredients. You know,
you
weigh each ingredient and you mix the chemical, you know, developer, and you cool it off. And then, you know, we would mix the developer for certain film, you know, how to push or pull or make it more contrasty. Mm-hmm. Or so it was a lot of fun. Yeah. So I had my own dark room. And then I, the school I went to learn photography, then I became a teacher there. So I taught a teenager, you know, photography. So I had that big dark room. And then when I moved here, I had a dark room as well. And I was printing, you know, pictures for other photographers just to make a little living. And then I got a job at AP as a printer. Uh-huh. So that was my first job as a printer.
Oh, right. So you worked a photographer initially. Right, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting background. Because not everybody's, like, even mixed around chemicals. It's something I want to start doing because, like you said, I think you need to do, like, the whole process because I think it teaches you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's good to learn the basics. You know, even now in photography, it's so easy just to buy a camera, put it on auto, and just go and take pictures. I mean, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But you know, but it's good to learn your camera. It's good to learn manual settings. You know your camera from inside out.
Oh, yes.
Because there will be situations where you don't know what to do. You know. like I know my camera pretty well, so I can afford to shoot like shutter priority, for example. That's what I do when I shoot streets, because I don't want to think yep. about my settings. But if the lighting yeah. changes or if there's a strong light, I know what to do. You know, I don't rely on auto. Yeah. So I think it's important, like when you're doing something, it's important to learn anything, you know, like your camera, your yeah. laptop, your Lightroom, your Photoshop, you know, all these things that help you to create a strong work. Well, you know, it's easier. You know, when you know something, you feel more confident.
I hope everybody I interview, I just motivate a little bit, or they suddenly think one day, I'll shoot a bit of film. You never know.
I made an attempt last year. I went to Russia. Every year I go to Russia to travel around villages and take pictures of everyday life. And once a year, there's a big festival, and that's another thing that I enjoy. I go to like rural villages of Bashkortostan Republic, which is republic within Russia, on Ural Mountains. And, yeah. you know, they're like no tourists. And, yeah. you know, I'm from there. But growing yeah. up, I didn't really appreciate the space. And you know, when I left, I didn't even look back. I'm like, oh my god, thanks god I left, you know, because I left in 92, which was like the roughest, very rough. And so a few years ago, I think 4 years ago, I went back there for I was invited to by a local photography group to travel these villages, and I went there with like no expectations. I didn't know what to expect, because I was just blown away by the culture. You know, Bashkortostan the main populations are Bashkir and Tatar. I'm Tatar. I was born Tatar. And, you know, Russians also and other smaller ethnic groups. And what I saw is that how much people embrace their culture. And so I was going to all these little festivals and listen to all this. I didn't even know what to do. Do I take pictures, or do I just like listen to, you know, watch singing and dancing, or, you know, or I go and try all the delicious food? And it was just so overwhelming for me. And it was really, really mind-blowing to me. So from that, you know, I went there for 2 weeks, and now I go there for like months. This year I was supposed to go there for 2 months. You know, Vinit Wara and I we actually put together a workshop, but it, you know, we had to cancel it because of the pandemic. Yeah. And but I wanted to, you know, I felt confident enough to bring a group of people there to introduce this culture, like nobody really knows, you know. Yeah. Russia is huge, and there's so many, ethnic groups, and there's so much culture. And it's like a Klondike for, you know, street photographers, because there's no tourists, there's no street photographers. And every time I go there, I bring back something unique that, you know, it's unique to me, and I think unique in street photography. I mean, it's kind of like a borderline between street photography and documentary photography, because, you know, I go there, I take a lot of portraits of people, that I, you know, that I need. And, you know, I take photographs. That's another thing, is that when I go and take photographs, I do it for myself. You know, I don't think of like, oh, how's it going to look on Instagram and what people think about it. I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I take pictures of like what makes me happy. And
that's good.
Like, I think it's important, like when you do something for yourself, you do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not a job, like job, I understand you do a job, you know, you do it for a client and, you know, you have to meet certain criteria, you know, if you're a commercial photographer or you're a documentary or photojournalist. But when you, you know, creative and you do take pictures, whether on a busy corner or in a somewhere in the middle of nowhere, take pictures for yourself. What makes you happy, you know, and put out the photographs that makes you happy, not what makes other people's happy. You know, you can't make everybody happy. You know, you can't, you know, you can be disappointed. Like if you expect, you know, you put a picture and you expect like, you know, all the likes and great, you know, comments and everything, and then somebody put a negative comment, and then you just disregard all the positive comment, and you just like stuck on this negative comment and think about it, and you think this you suck, and it's just like, this is crazy. I'm saying that because I went through this. I'm talking from experience. So you know, learn from, you know, I already went through this, and it's just not worth it. You know, just do something that makes you happy, makes you satisfied, you know, and the rest will come eventually.
That's good to know. Hopefully it will. Now, I mean, looking at your work, you can see that. You can see for you and there, it is probably street, but to us, because like you're saying, it is so different. It is documentary. And what I really like, I think it's the colours of the clothing and things like that. It's literally like a different period in history. And it was really nice. It was nice to see a little bit of that on the Street Photography magazine. And obviously, it's nice to see it on your website. So is that why you like the idea of doing the workshop over there, so you can get people to embrace it?
I just wanted to share it with the world, you know?
Yeah.
I love it there so much. And what's, I can't believe I'm saying this, because when I left, you know, Bashkortostan, and I'm from capital, which is Ufa. I thought it was like, you know, God's forgotten place or something. You know, it was just, it was so depressing. Yeah. When I left, I mean, it was just horrible. I mean, like right now, I'm like, people, please sit at home on the couch, watch Netflix, you know, eat delivery. And I mean, this is nothing. Like I'm sometimes just like, you know, people have no idea, you know, how other countries, you know, have it, you know, like, so bad. And, you know, in the past or currently, I mean, it's just like there's so much, you know, suffering right now. But, you know, going back to what I was talking about, is that I just wanted to introduce this region to people. So, so they see good, you know, there's, you know, again, Russia is so huge. And there's so many, you know, it's not just Moscow and St. Petersburg and, you know, like great museums for them. But there's also, you know, the people where I'm from, the people also, you know, what surprised me, just so kind and giving and really down to earth, very welcoming and warm. I just want, you know, to bring light to this place and so more people know about it.
That's nice, though. So, you know, you've come away from it, but you're proud of your ancestry now, aren't you?
Yes, and that's what that's, you know, it's a, you know, we right before we started recording, we talked about my personal project called Lost Family.
Mm. That's funny.
And you know, I started this project before I went back home.
Okay.
But it was just like a scratching the surface. You know, I knew I wanted to do something. But now going back to Bashkortostan, I combine my, you know, street photography over there with my hand painting. Because when I go there, I ask myself a question. It's like, you know, if my family was alive, like, you know, what would they do? Would they be like dancing and singing like that? Would they wear the same costume? Like, would this woman I just photographed, would my mother look like her? So this is, you know, the Lost Family is my creation of my own family album, you know, imaginative.
Yeah.
Photo album because you know I don't have a family, and by recreating, you know, putting a collages of family photos that I have, you know, over the pictures, the modern pictures that I take, you know, I ask myself questions, you know, and also hopefully the viewer can ask themselves with questions as well, like, and it's a study, and by creating this collages, I'm creating my own family album. If that makes sense, you know, I'm putting the photo of my mother when she was like in her 20s with a woman that I photographed, you know, a couple of years ago, and you know, I've painted flowers. It's also has a meaning for me because my name is a flower of pomegranate and my mom's name was Rose. So it's a lot of flowers.
Okay.
And so by creating this collage, hand-painted collage, I'm creating like a fantasy photograph, like this is my family album, like this is my mother would look like today. So I'm connecting the past and the present, and all this painting symbolizes the future. So there's a lot of symbols in one collage.
Yeah, I mean, it is lovely. And for anyone listening, please do check out Gulnara's website for that, because it's so different. This is what I love about artists like yourself. You come up with these ideas and you're like, do you know, that's, forgive me for saying, it's a simple idea in theory because you're just doing combining things, but it's personal to yourself, like you say, and you've used elements that have meaning to you, which, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
Are they all done digitally then, or is it?
So, I, in the last few months, while being in a lockdown, I create new work. I think about five I created. You can actually see the new work on my Instagram, which is at Gulnara underscore NYC. You know, I start hand painting my work like in the late 80s.
Okay.
And I went to college in Moscow, photography college. And while there, I visited, I went to a museum, and they had a huge retrospective exhibition of Gilbert and George, two artists. And, you know, they make this massive photographs, and there are also collages and colorful. And so, you know, and I came from Ufa. It's like, you know, much smaller city, and we had, you know, at the time we had like one art museum. You know, photography didn't consider art at all, and you know, we had like a couple of theaters, and so to me, it was such a shock to see that you can do something else with your photograph. You know, yeah. I didn't know. You know, I was just like, okay, I take a picture, I develop, I made a print, and that's it. But it really like forced me to think that, oh my, oh, you know, maybe I can do something with my photographs. And at the time, there was just a lot of things going on. You know, I was, you know, young adult, and like very rebellious, and then I was like. You know, at the time I was already a photographer, but I was the only female photographer in the entire republic. And so I had to like, you know, yeah, I went through a lot of, you know, things that, you know, made me quit photography. Yeah. So I was experimenting with painting, and then I was writing on my photographs. So it was like my messages, like, you know, it was a way, that was a way for me to express my rebellion self. Put it this way. You know, I was doing a lot of like painting and collages about like single mothers and older people and AIDS and pollution. I mean, I was just like all over the place, but all over the place. I mean, like everything that I was experiencing or I was like not happy about, I was just like, put it on my picture. So, and I continued that until maybe mid 90s, and then I stopped. So I stopped doing that because I got a job, you know, I got a job at AP, and I was just, you know, regular life that many people just have, that busy. Go to work, yeah, back home. So, I stopped painting pictures until I took Mary Ellen Mark's workshop.
Okay.
And it was her last workshop before she passed away. And I'm not going to go into the details, but I brought a box with my old pictures, hand-painted pictures. She really liked it. I mean, I didn't know what she would think. I mean, she was like, you know, very straightforward black and white shooter, and but she gave me such a good feedback, and she said she asked me, why did I stop? You know, and it was a simple question. I didn't have an answer, and it really, because I respected her so much. Her question like was a really like a kick in the butt, you know, like her question is like, why did you stop? To me, it was like, okay, I need to continue. You know, it was a call for action for me, meaning that, okay, why did you stop? You should continue. So, she was there. She said it like, and it's very unique, you know, you should continue. And I start thinking about like what kind of new project I want to do. And at first I wanted to do something about my childhood. You know, I was just thinking different things, which forced me to go through my family photos, and you know, some of the photos I didn't even look at. You know, after my mother died and my grandmother died, I just put all the pictures in the one box and just put it away. I didn't even look through.
Yeah.
And so anyway, looking through all these photos, I realized that there's more to the family that I knew. You know, like my mother had a brother I didn't know. So that's what's like, you know, that became the project Lost Family. Just like a search of like, what else is there? that's what I'm doing. I thought I finished the, with this, but during the pandemic, I thought another thing is that when all this happened, I wanted to inspire other people that even in a lockdown, you can be creative. Because I start here, I'm a street photographer, I can't go out, there's no people, there's this and that. And so I start painting and posting on Instagram stories, and I wanted people to see that you can be creative no matter what. And it's forced me to be creative because I wanted to prove to other people that you can be creative. And also by watching my stories and, you know, seeing the pictures that I post, maybe it will, you know, inspire people to do something that they wanted to do for a long time or, you know, whatever that is. But my point was that, you know, people, you can do it. You can be creative.
You're right. Definitely. I've been the same, obviously. I'm not the same level as yourself, but I've been pushing myself to do things during COVID. And normally they involve me and my children. So, I've talked about this on the show, but I've been in that room with my daughters. I've been doing lumen printing with my daughters. We've been hand painting prints that I work very good. And then I've been back in the dark room myself at night, messing about with prefixing, double exposure, and things like this. And I was like, I'm just learning so much at the minute. And you just think at some point something will come out of it, like your project idea. So I'm just going through these stages, and it's like, one of these things I'm really going to use at some point.
Yeah. And you know, now, I mean, it still is a perfect time to work on project that you were thinking about or dreaming about, or you started and you stopped. And yeah. I mean, on top of everything else, I mean, I was also busy. I'm working on my first book.
Oh yes, that sounds good.
Yeah, right before the pandemic, I got a book offer. That's kept me very busy.
Okay, will that happen this year, do you think?
No, it's coming out next March.
Next March, okay. Yeah, it just shows it takes a lot of planning then, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a big book publishing company. I'm very,
very good.
Yes, I'm very flattered and honored, and it kept me really busy. So it's a book about women street photographers.
Oh, that's really cool, because you can't beat something in print.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning. I had no idea how much planning, how much, you know, how many people working on one book, and you know, I love the process, and you know, working with the editor was amazing. You know, I curated the book, but just having that second opinion and really, really helps. and you know, working with a designer, and it's just amazing. I loved it. I love it. I want to do my own book now. I mean, my own,
that would be another skill.
My personal work. I want to do a book of my personal work.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah, because I mean, that's the thing that you're talking about two things that are so, so different. You know, a personal project about your family, and then here we are talking about your work as a street photographer. It's completely different thing.
The book I'm working now is about other people's work. It's about women street photographers. Yeah, it's not my street photography. It's about women street photographers, which is more exciting.
And this is great.
Which is more exciting. We need a book like that.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, I'm all for it. The first person I interviewed was a woman street photographer, actually from New York as well. Fabulous lady. I know another lady called Dominique, who lives in New York.
Dominique?
She's a street photographer.
Dominique Mizrahi?
Yes.
Oh, she's a friend of mine.
Oh, is she? Yeah, she's been on the show, so say hello for me.
I didn't know.
Yeah, we message each other. She was on late last year, I think it was. We tried it very early on, because Dominique, I love her work, and it is why I wanted her on the show, because for me, she's at the other end of street, where it's more about portraiture of, interesting faces. And she gets so many of them every day.
I know. She's one of my favorite photographers. When I started Women Street Photographers, I didn't know any women photographers.
Yeah.
And when I put out the call for my first exhibition of Women Street Photographers, she sent her submission. And when I saw her photographs, I was like, oh, my God, I love these photos. And then we spoke on the phone, and then she came to help to put together the exhibition, like, you know, cleaning the frames and you know, putting the labels. So she was, you know, it was a lot of labor, you know, putting that first exhibition. It was a lot of work. So several women came to help Dominique. So that's how we just got to know each other, and I love her work. I love her work. She's she's so talented. She's so fearless too. We're actually supposed to teach a workshop together on street portraiture back in May, but we're postponing it because I don't feel that was another first for me, you know, to teach with Dominique. Because I love street portraits, and I can approach anybody in the street, and Dominique is also. I mean, she's, you know, watching her do her magic is magical. So we also wanted to teach other street photographers how to approach people, and you know, what to do, and how to create those candid portraits that are not forced. You know, they're not too posed. You know, they're real. Real photo. That's why Dominique's photographs are so successful, because they're real, you know, and she's been real. She's fantastic. So I speak with her every day. Actually, we become very close during pandemics.
No, that's great. I mean, we've discussed a couple of times about a family situation and that, and it, you know, life's hard in some circumstances, isn't it? So you could see little bits of her work changing, and it's okay being a street photographer, but some things sometimes happen, don't they?
That's another thing, actually, I'd like to mention. You know, some people, yes, okay, I'm a street photographer, I only shoot street, and they have, you know, like a Instagram account devoted just for streets. But I think But I think it's, you know, if you like to take other pictures, you know, it's okay too. You know, you don't have to be like hard, you know, like.
No, you can't do that.
I know. It's like, oh my God, you know, I took, for example, I took a picture of my family, you know, or my kids I really like, but I can't put on Instagram because it's all street. So what? You know, when you go to my Instagram, I mean, you see all kind of things, you know, my hand painted, my streets, you know, my self-portraits. And I think it's it should be a mix, you know. I think it should be a good mix. I think it shows also your personality. Like, when I curate, I mean, I look at other people's Instagram every day, or not all day long, but quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I like to see a good mix, you know. I actually don't like to see, like, too curated, you know. It's, you know, I don't know. It's just me. Maybe other people like to see that it's all, like, you know, black and white, or it's all color, or it's all vertical or horizontal, or it's only street, and then they have another Instagram account for just portrait and or commercial work. I don't know. I think by separating your social media, you're separating your followers. I like to have everything in one place, you know.
It's a good,
you know, I'd like to, you know, if I have street photographers who follow me, I'd like them to see my hand-painted work, you know, and vice versa, you know, people who follow me because of my hand-painted work, you know, maybe they will get inspired, take a camera and go and take pictures on the street. So it needs to be mixed. It needs to be a good mix.
Yeah, I like that thinking, because I think you're right. There's people are either business orientated, and like you say, that's why they have this professional look, or you're a real person, aren't you? My feed's similar. It's all sorts of, sometimes I'll do behind the scenes photos. You know, because I'm shooting film, I'll take a picture of my viewfinder so people get a preview of what I'm looking at. And then I'll put on people I'm podcasting with and reviews by people. And if I've bought a book, I'll take a picture of the book and I'll do a video and just show people.
People love to see behind this. People love to see behind the scene videos. You know, pictures, or, you know, whatever. That's why, you know, when I curate an exhibition, I post in stories like how I make the print, how I map pictures, how I hang the pictures. I want people to see how much work it goes into producing an exhibition. And it's good. I mean, it's another thing is that, like, if I was a, like, let's say, you know, I'm a commercial photographer, and I'm, I don't know, whatever, fashion photographer, or a photojournalist. You know, yes, I post my pictures on Instagram, you know, that I want people to see. But I think by posting your behind the scene or pictures of yourself on an assignment, I think that shows a human side of you, you know?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
And I think people get relate to you because you're showing them a human side of yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's important. And I think, to be honest, what would be amazing for your street photography with the ladies you're talking about would be some of them behind the scenes. So if it's you and Dominique, say, going out, showing people how to do it as a workshop.
And I actually, we went out to take pictures like a month ago and, you know, wearing masks. Keeping a distance, and I took you know, she grabbed someone on the street to take portraits of them, and I took a behind the scene video without her knowing. But it was, you know, I mean, I told her afterwards and I sent her the video, but it was just, and I'm not sure if I posted in stories, but it was, it's just great for, I know I'm in this, like, I'd like to see behind this, you know.
Me too.
So, and that would be my advice, like, you know.
But you're right, because it, I think it gives you a little glimpse into the personalities and life of the person. And for me, that adds value to what you get from that person. Because there's many people that can take photos, as we've said, but like you've said, getting that mentor or just learning from someone, and it could be in that little bit of behind the scenes, couldn't it?
And it's okay to, you know, another thing is, you know, we artists are like very sensitive and perfectionists, you know? Yeah. Sensitive perfectionists. I know I am. So, I mean, I'm not perfect and my, you know, my life is a mess, but in certain things, you know, we like, we need to let it go, let go of being perfectionists. You know, we you know, yeah. I know, like, for myself too, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I need to get on like Instagram Live, but I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid to talk to people. I not even to talk to people. I don't even know who I'm talking to. It's like the fear freezes us from liberating ourselves and just doing something. And I, at the beginning, when I started the Women Street Photographers Instagram account, you know, I had like a few followers and I'm like, okay, you know, I want to bring some value. I want to bring a face behind that, like, account, because there's so many accounts you don't even know who is running it, who is curating it, who is making a decision, you don't know. So I wanted to be transparent right away, and that's why I was just like, you know, I don't like being in front of the camera, but it, you know, you turn the phone on yourself and you start broadcasting, you start answering people's questions, you start filming yourself how you hang exhibitions, and I think that's one of the reasons why people like to follow Women Street Photography, because there's, you know, I give feedback on why I choose the pictures, or I show, you know, how I hang exhibitions, and you know, I just show behind the scenes, and people know, okay, there is a real person behind that account, which is important right now, I think, nowadays.
It is, yeah. I think we lose a little bit sometimes through some of the social media. So I think the videos really enabled some of us to do that. And it's not because we're showing off. It's not because we're gorgeous celebrities that need the likes. It's... my friend said to me months ago, Andy, you need to do some behind the scenes stuff. And I was like, okay. So I did. So that's what I've been doing. This photography project I'm doing. Every time I go somewhere, I'll do a quick video. I'll either show them around, or I'll show them, and I'll do a few shots of my viewfinder, like I said. And some people sometimes comment, and it's like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
It's definitely worth doing.
Yeah, and you don't need fancy equipment or fancy lighting. I mean, you know, you can just take your phone and you film yourself, and, you know, you don't need fancy setup. Like the other, you know, some people, and that's what I thought too, oh, my, I need like a tripod, I need a camera, a video camera, I need the lighting. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, now people film, make movies with the iPhone. I mean, that's crazy.
That's right, yeah.
Like the you know, we are not making baby steps. I mean, we just like the technology and everything, it's just like on the speed train, you know? And we don't, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. And that was my point. Like, you don't need to be perfectionist. And, you know, you can let go of certain things. and just do it. Just do it. Don't wait.
You do. Yep, I agree. Do you know what? Even last night, I took a picture. I sat in my garden because it was a nice night. I had my laptop, these headphones, and I was editing a podcast. And I had a hot drink with me, and I just took a picture of it all and said, this is my desk. Because I don't have a desk, I work from my laptop, and my laptop comes with me. Because you don't need equipment. And, you know, I try saying to people, yeah, I could have a better microphone, but then what does that really do? It might enhance my, it could enhance my audio, but what of my guests like yourself? You might not have a good microphone. So that's wasted. And it's adding that 1% maybe to the quality of it. Whereas I want to focus on the content and the people and feelings and emotions and what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's important to me. I think it's ace that you're doing this street photography thing. And I think it's nice that it's for women because I think women have been neglected from this scene of showing the work. And again, we're full of the white male on the scene with everything, especially street photography, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I have nothing against white male street photographers. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are, but you know, it's not about men vice women or women vice men. And it's just, I just wanted to provide a platform to show work by women photographers. Because I know what it does to your confidence when you see your work published or you see your work on the wall. And that's my only goal, that, you know, women get inspired and continue going, don't give up, and just continue do what they love, you know, and providing the platform, whether it's an Instagram post or a photograph printed and framed on the wall, I think it's a phenomenal boost to confidence. So, and yeah, that's the only goal for just to show work done by other women photographers. And now I also, every Monday, I also feature work by documentary female photographers.
Oh, wow.
Talking about mixing. So, yes, it's called Women Street Photographers, but every Monday now I feature work by female photojournalists and documentary photographers. And every Sunday I try to interview, not interview, but have a conversation like we're having conversation with other female photographers who are completely unknown. Not widely known. I mean, none of us widely known, unfortunately. That's the thing. You know, there's so many talented female photographers. I mean, when I started this whole thing, I didn't know I was going because I didn't know there were so many. So yeah, every Sunday now I try to have a conversation with other photographers, just, you know, photographers who I admire and who I think can inspire other women or men. You know, I have, large portion of my followers, I think 45% are male photographers. So it's not, again, it's not about, you know, feminism or women against men. No, it's just, I just want to be seen, you know?
Yeah, you're just trying to give them a place. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm trying to do a lot of different things, and we also, I have a very good friend, Ximena Chagwe. You know, she's helping me a lot. I mean, Women Street Photographers is successful, you know, with big part of her help and dedication. We started a Facebook group. We are collecting, it's called Catalog, a COVID-19 catalog. So we are, it's open to anybody, men or women. Okay. And we are collecting work taken during pandemic. We already secured a gallery in Paris, France.
Wow.
So we're going to show early next year, we're going to show, we're going to have an exhibition from, you know, about 20 photographers or so who produced a, who is working on the series during the pandemic.
Okay. So is it, so it can be documentary or street based, or is it anything? Or
anything. There's a lot of self portraits or anything. But you know, it needs to be taken during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And have a inspirational message. It's all about inspiring, you know, it's all not giving up and just keep going, and that's the message.
Well, I'll put in a shot that's completely black and say you can't do any worse than me, so that'll inspire you. Hopefully I'm a little bit better than that, but you know. That sounds lovely. I think that's a nice thing to do for people, and it just shows about you and your character. So, you know, full credit to you, Gulnara. It's lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a, also, I just want to mention, I also started artist residency for women photographers. And last year we had a first winner of Women Street Photographers Artist Residency. Her name is Valérie Sis from France. So she, so this artist residency is for, you know, any female photographer or people who identify themselves as a woman to come to New York for 2 weeks. And so it's in December, usually during the annual Women Street Photographers exhibition. So you stay here in New York for 2 weeks, and you take pictures every day, and get mentored by me and Ximena. And at the end of it, Valérie, she had a solo exhibition. So this year, the call is already passed, but we are in the process to choosing a winner. But this year, the residency is 100% paid for. So it costs nothing for one lucky woman to come to New York. So her flight will be paid from anywhere in the world. 2 weeks stay in New York is paid. Daily stipend and a solo exhibition. So... I mean, and being mentored by Ximena, because I will be busy with the exhibition, and have access to a very strong community of women photographers here in New York. So Valérie was here last year for 2 weeks, and she worked really hard, and she did fantastic exhibition. I mean, she produced such an amazing work. And so she had to pay for her flight, but her stay here was free. So the art residency is in Art Space in New York City. It's a art space is a residency for artists. So you live in a community with other artists. So it's an amazing opportunity, and I'm the most excited about this, because imagine being in New York for 2 weeks, all expenses paid.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And all you do is just take street pictures. It's December, it's cold, but it's, you know.
That's a dream.
I know. So that's another thing that I'm very, very passionate about.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fabulous. I'll make sure. But you say that's already passed.
The deadline is passed. So you can't submit your pictures. But early next year, it's going to be once a year. Maybe twice a year. I have to think, you know. But early next year, there will be another call for 2021 artist residency. So
that sounds amazing. We need a male one as well, so I can try and win. Does that be amazing?
Well, there's a lot of actually artist residencies around the world. You can apply to. Not all of them pay for everything, you know. Some of them, yes, you get into artist residency, but then there's like you have to pay rent and you have to pay your travel expenses. So it's quite expensive. But this one is all paid for, and we have a sponsor who is a private citizen who is sponsoring this whole thing. So I'm very grateful to this person for giving this opportunity.
Yeah, because that is one hell of an opportunity, because like you say. Well, anyway, so I can't thank you enough, Gulnara. It's been lovely sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you. I mean, it was a really good conversation. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, thank you so much. So one thing obviously you can do for everybody is, if you want to tell everybody where to check out your work, obviously I'll put them in the show notes for you anyway, but if you want to tell everybody now,
my website is gulnara.com, gulnara.com, and my Instagram is gulnara_nyc. Women Street Photographers is womenstreetphotographers.com is the website, and the Instagram is Women Street Photographers.
Oh, that's nice and easy. Thank you for that. And finally, the one thing I always do with my guests is I do this pay it forward scheme. So what I like to do is ask for a future recommendation. Maybe someone you like, someone maybe you think I should get involved with.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you've got in mind?
Of course, yeah. I'd like to recommend to interview Ximena Echagüe. She's a fantastic street and documentary photographer. She's actually texted to me today a picture. Her photograph was just blown up. It's really, really huge. And hang in the Museum of City of New York. It's a very important museum in New York City.
Wow.
She's not only a super talented photographer, who actually kept me inspired in the last few months during this pandemic. Person who never done self-portraits. She's working on the self-portrait series, which is mind-blowing, nothing that I've seen before. She's just fearless and photographer and kind human being and very, intelligent person. And I would highly recommend to have a conversation with her, because she has a lot of insights in photography and life, and So yeah, I'll send you her name. Her website. I mean, her name is Ximena. Ximena. Echagüe. Echagüe. And her Instagram is also. I can email you her. But yes, without hesitation, she would be my number one recommendation.
That sounds amazing. No, that'll be great. Sounds very interesting.
Well, thanks so much again, and I'm looking forward to hear the interview whenever it's published.
No,
and I'll
you.
Share it on my social media.
Right. Well, thank you so much. It's getting late here, so I'm going to go to bed. But yeah, honestly, thank you so much, Gulnara. It's been lovely.
Yeah, me too. And have a great night and good night and sleep well.
And I will do. And I'll be messaging Dominique now saying we've had a chat.
Yeah, I'll message her too. She was already messaging me.
All right. Okay. Well, you take care and I'll speak to you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, y'all. Just wanted to say I hope you enjoyed that episode with Gulnara. I found it very fascinating. It's lovely to see when someone swaps countries and what effect it has on them and their work. Now, you can see with Gulnara, it's turned from, you know, working as a press photographer for Associated Press into probably more of an artist and then towards street photography. And I think the things she's been doing, helping other ladies get their work in front of people, I think it's a great idea, and full credit to her for it. Now, I know we didn't talk about 9/11, and I know I mentioned going to listen to Bob, because I think it was the right thing to do in this case. We had already discussed 9/11 with a previous guest, Paul Beriff, who was actually at Ground Zero as well. And obviously, it's probably the most talked about thing for her, so I wasn't sure about discussing it, to be honest. So I hope you'll understand me on that one. Just say there are more guests booked in. I am looking at doing a special to do with modelling. I'll get details to that soon. Whether it happens or not, we'll have to see. It's just been something on my mind recently, an idea to try and help for the safety of other people more than anything. And, you know, I just want to reflect and say keep the please keep listening to the show and sharing with everybody you can. I get some lovely comments from people, so I'd like to just get it in front of more people, to be honest. I feel like it's the right thing to do. And every time I speak to someone, I get this great feeling, and I'm hoping you can see the and understand or hear the rapport I have with these people. Sometimes there's a lot of extra communication. Sometimes there's a lot of extra chatting before or afterwards. It really just depends on the character and the time frames and all this sort of thing. Each and every one are different. Some take a little bit longer to relax into the interview. And, you know, I totally understand that. It's not like I'm a known person to them. So, for me, it's great because we get to have a lovely conversation about something we're all passionate about and you all like hearing about. And I just wanted to say, you know, there's been a couple of things that have happened because of this are really nice. So tonight I heard off someone, and I don't want to mention names because it might not happen.
Or it may do, I'll have to say. So they have been contacted by a film producer to talk about this project that they're doing. I don't want to say too much because I'll give it away far too easily. They're amazing people, and what they're doing is quite important as well. So it's not just about art, there's a lot of history involved in this. And the message may just say that, it only happened because this producer came across the podcast I did with him. And I said, God, that's amazing. And I just can't believe, by luck someone's searched for that and they found it. So to me, that gives me a lot of pleasure, and it really makes your day, things like that. And then another previous guest, Steve at Chroma, he's sending me one of his cameras over to try. And to me, that's a huge thing because, you're trusting someone else with something that's, a job to him, because, he quit his job to do Chroma full time. And he knows about business. He's a very switched on guy, but more than anything, he's a great human being. What goes into his cameras is hard work. The skill. There's TLC. There's a lot of there's a lot of quality checking that goes on by him, and he won't send out anything if it's not right. I'm so thankful, Stephen. I can't actually wait to receive that. I can't wait to try it. So it would be a lovely thing. So do check out my Instagram and Facebook because I'll be posting videos of that because I'll be like a little child with a new toy. And it's not very often I get new toys, so it's an important thing for me. And the third one, which only happened today as well, which is quite amazing, three in one day. Top Gun Dave, as we call him. So that's Dave, who was the flight instructor at the previous Top Gun, as you all call it, the Top Gun Flight School in San Diego, where he's flying the Tomcats. He's released his book, so I hope you do check that out. It's all about his life flying these things, and he was a film photographer back then, and he's a really decent person as well. We had a really good chat, so a chance to check out the podcast, and I'll put a link to his book. So yeah, that's all for now, guys and girls. Thanks for listening out. You're staying safe. I know there's a lot of you in America who listen. We are watching the news over here. We're thinking about you every day. And please stay safe. Until next time, thanks from the flogger.